Amen. All right. Well, hey, check this out. Over 400 congregations in the United States, in 49 states, celebrated, listen to this, the anniversary of the birth of Charles Darwin. They called it Evolution Sunday. And you're going, you got to be kidding me, right? You really can't come up with something. You got to do, there's plenty in here to work with, but Evolution Sunday, anyway, whatever. How did it start? Several years ago, people began what it was called the Clergy Letter Project, where they encourage clergy across America to sign a letter that says they supported evolution and rejected the Genesis account of creation as literal history. Over 10,200 clergy signed that letter right out of the gates. That tells you how many fakers in the pulpit, folks. The irony is this Evolution Sunday program, when it was first launched, was being ramped up. It was doing it at the same time the world's leading evolutionist, atheist, Richard Dawkins from Oxford University, he actually stated the exact opposite message on a TV show. He said this, Dawkins said, Charles Darwin hit upon a truly brilliant idea that explains all of life on earth without any need to invoke the supernatural or the divine. People like to say that faith and science can live together side by side, but I don't think they can. They're deeply opposed. And the article says, do you see the irony here? The so-called clergy are supporting evolution, but the evolutionary secular atheist humanists insist that such a position is unthinkable. Why? Because as Dawkins stated, watch this, he said, quote, it was evolution that led him to his atheism. And that's why atheists like Dawkins take glee when they see the clergy supporting evolution because, quote, it's a step towards atheism. And here's what they're predicting. Because of this compromise in the church, Dawkins expects that the next generation of Christians will see this inconsistency in the clergy's beliefs, listen, and they will, quote, soon give up the Bible altogether. Sounds like an attack to me, right? And that's exactly what it is. I'm going to demonstrate it to you shortly, what this is really all about. But I don't know about you, but I find it very appalling. Hundreds of churches across our country, thousands of so-called pastors across our country are saying, we didn't come from God, we came from an accidental blob. It's nuts, folks. This is what's going on, okay? They're supporting atheism. Now, again, I want to show with you, this is not by chance. This actually is, and I'll give you a nutshell, and I'm going to prove it to you. This clergy letter project, right, that's going into the churches, not Christian at all, not even close. What it is, it's atheists attacking the church, and they directed it to fakers in the church to begin this onslaught to invade the church, okay? And so let's start off by proving that. What is this clergy letter project that led to 10,000 plus so-called pastors across America rejecting the biblical account, right? Let's take a look at that.
Clergy Project is a 501c3 nonprofit organization that is centered on a private and safeguarded online community of forums. Our founders first conceived of this online safe space as a platform that would allow post-belief religious leaders around the world to gather in support of one another. Our online community of forums is where our airtight security and anonymity tools allow our project participants to truly let their guards down as they share and discuss their deepest worries, frustrations, and perspectives without the fear of it becoming public knowledge. The dream and idea of the Clergy Project goes back to the mid-80s when the former Christian minister, Dan Barker, dismissed his faith in God. In 2006, while Barker was speaking at a humanist conference in Iceland, evolutionary biologist Richard Dawkins expressed interest to help other non-believing clergy in similar circumstances. From there, Dawkins had been talking with philosopher and cognitive scientist Daniel Dennett, and soon after he began to get involved. Later, Dennett partnered with qualitative researcher Linda LaScola for a pilot study published in the 2010 issue of Evolutionary Psychology entitled Preachers Who Are Not Believers.
No, that wouldn't happen. Preachers who are not believers? We just saw over 10,000 plus signed on with this atheist group. Well, let's break it down. Are these people Christians coming to the church just trying to, you know, add a little compliment, you know, bring in some so-called science into the church? No, it was an attack. invading into the church, right? Let's start off with that one guy there at the bottom left with the beard, the Daniel Dennett guy, okay? And you saw there was four people involved. There was Richard Dawkins, Dan Barker, Daniel Bennett, and Linda LaScola. But let's take a look at Daniel Bennett. This is just a quick clip telling you who he is. He's speaking in Europe, and the message is breaking the spell of religion, you know, Christianity, right? But watch what he says.
I'm so thrilled to be here. Just a few minutes ago, I found myself looking firsthand at the famous portrait of my hero, David Hume, which is in the principal's office. That gives us an extra special meaning to this occasion to me. Hume is one of my heroes. Another one of my heroes is Charles Darwin, of course, and some people have even gone so far as to say that I carry my hero worship a little bit far, extending even to my appearance. Now, I really don't know why anybody would say that. I don't think there's anything to it. But in any case, Darwin certainly is one of my heroes.
So, if your heroes are David Hume, a huge mega atheist, we'll see him in a second, and Charles Darwin, the one who started the line of evolution, I don't think that guy's a Christian. Can we play safe with that as we investigate who started this clergy-led project? All right. The next one was Linda LaScola, right? Is she a Christian? Not even close. In fact, here's just a brief clip of her speaking at an atheist organization called Freedom from Religion Foundation. And the previous guy introduces her and shares how they started and why they started this clergy letter project. Watch this.
It was almost 10 years ago, 9 years ago, when I got an email from Linda, and then she approached me at a meeting in Washington, D.C., with the idea that turned into the book that we wrote. She thought we could find, and we could, thanks to Dan and others, closeted, non-believing clergy to interview. We did this as a Tufts University research project, handsomely funded by two Canadian benefactors. And I'm going to let her tell the story of this, because it's more her project than mine. I'm the figurehead of this project, and for the last 9 years, I've been very happy to join her in making it happen. But the driving force of Caught in the Pulpit, after that, of the creation of the Clergy Project, is Linda LaScola. I'm very proud of her.
Thank you very much, Dan. I'll get you tomorrow. Okay. I'm here to talk about something that I had no clue about back then, atheist clergy.
There it is again. Atheist clergy? I mean, there would be people behind the pulpit that are lying to their congregations. They don't even believe in God. They're atheists. Tens of thousands of them, folks. And that's what this project was to do, to find those people and get them to work together and further infect the church. Now, this Linda LaScola you just saw, I don't know, maybe it's just me, but if you're bragging about your atheist project to invade the church to an atheist organization called the Freedom from Religion Foundation, I'm kind of thinking you're probably not a Christian. Can we agree on that one? All right. In fact, let me give you a little teaser of what kind of propaganda comes out of that atheist organization called the Freedom from Religion Foundation. Watch this commercial.
Hi, I'm Ron Reagan, an unabashed atheist, and I'm alarmed, as you may be, by the intrusions of religion into our secular government. That's why I'm asking you to join the Freedom from Religion Foundation, the nation's largest and most effective association of atheists and agnostics working to keep state and church separate, just like our founders intended. Please join the Freedom from Religion Foundation today. Ron Reagan, lifelong atheist, not afraid of burning in hell.
Woo! Yikes. All right, let's keep going down the list with these guys that put this project together. I'm telling you, it's an invasion of atheists into the church, working with fakers in the church to destroy the church. This is what's going on. Okay, let's take a look at that next guy, the guy that said he was a pastor, this Dan Barker guy. Okay, he's a faker, right? His true colors eventually came out, but here he is on the Oprah Juan Kenobi show. Not a good sign. Yeah, you finally got that. Explaining how he, quote, lost his faith. Watch this.
Oh, tell me your story, Dan.
I was one of
the ex-reverend,
guys.
Right? The ex-reverend.
The ex-reverend.
Yes.
I was one of those guys that would walk up to you in the street and tell you about Jesus Christ and would convince you to say the sinner's prayer, would convince you that you were a sinner deserving of damnation, tell you about Jesus' love, read the Bible to you, and pray with people like yourself, with many people. I was an evangelist, and I loved the gospel, the calling of the ministry, and I've changed my mind.
What made you change your mind, Dan?
For me, it was a 5-year struggle. I was always in love with reason and intelligence and truth. I thought Christianity had the truth.
Mm-hmm.
I really believed it.
I understand.
And I haven't really changed. I'm still searching for intelligence and reason and values, and I still love truth. I'm still the same person, the same minister who wants to know what is real and what is true. And I've decided that the evidences for Christianity are not solid evidences. The Bible is an unreliable document, and it is a very uninspiring document, and my heart cannot accept what my mind rejects after serious study.
And so you have decided what? There is no God?
Well, I am an atheist now, yes. I do not personally hold a belief in God, which is the definition of
atheism. You went from 17 years of being a minister to not believing in God.
That's right.
What does that say about you?
That means I was wrong. I made a mistake. I had a psychological delusion.
A psychological delusion? 17 years behind the pulpit? He prayed with people? Quoted scripture? Got to be a Christian. Dan Barker lost his salvation. No. Dan Barker was a faker the whole time. Took a while. Took 17 years for the colors to come out. Because the Bible's very clear. 1 John 2:19. They went out from us, but they didn't belong to us. Including Dan. Well, how do you know? Well, here's your acid test, like James. For if they had belonged to us, they what? They would have remained with us. Why? Because God's Spirit, he keeps his own. They would have remained with us, but their going showed that how many? None of them belong to us. And again, what's the constant theme here? These guys want to sell you and I on a lie that they just had to become an atheist. I mean, because the evidence is so against the Bible and so for their atheists that there is no evidence of God and evolution. It's all scientific. It just drove them to be an atheist because it's just there. There's so much evidence. No, that's the lie. And we're really going to blow that one out in our final study. In fact, it's such a bankrupt lie that they have no evidence. And the only reason why people, you're going to see tonight, the only reason why people by and large believe in evolution is because they've been brainwashed in it. You repeat a lie loud enough, long enough, often enough, people believe it. And they will not allow anything else to the contrary. That's why. But it is not scientific, and they do not have any evidence. You don't believe me? Let's take a look at the fourth and final guy on the Clergy Letter Project, the big atheist, Richard Dawkins. He was asked, just give us one piece of evidence. Here's what he said on tape. Watch this.
Can you give an example of a genetic mutation or an evolutionary process which can be seen to increase the information in the genome?
Can you just stop that?
Yeah, shut the tape off. What's the impression? Oh, science is on their side. They got so much evidence. It's everywhere. It just oozes out all over the place. You know what I'm saying? From the goo to the zoo to me and you. Okay, give us one. Shut the tape off. This is what's going on, folks. These guys are bankrupt liars. In fact, did you know that you don't need a seminary degree? Did you know you didn't need to teach at Oxford to show just how bankrupt evolution is? All you got to do is look at a mouse trap. Yeah, seriously, watch this.
Mousetrap has five parts to it. It's got the hammer, which is the mouse's least favorite part. Then you've got the trigger where you put the cheese, the trigger to set the whole thing off. Then you've got the spring that'll bring that hammer over. Then you have the latch that holds it all back. And finally, you have the wooden base that holds all the pieces together. So you've got five parts that all have to be there in the right place at the right time for this thing to function, or it's not going to work. So how could a mousetrap evolve slowly, one piece at a time, by accident, over millions and millions of years? It couldn't. It couldn't survive along the way. It couldn't catch mice. Now we know mousetraps, they're not living. But in the living world, we see things that are much, much more complex than this.
Yeah, like your body with 50 trillion cells, which all have to be there fully functioning, or you're dead meat. So logically, and again, I don't know if you, maybe you did, I don't know, I'm not trying to downplay your education. How many guys went to Oxford? How many guys have degrees on top of your degrees and degrees and degrees? And talk in a British accent so it makes you sound more intelligent. But I'm thinking you guys can figure out that if a mousetrap with five parts cannot evolve by chance, what makes you think that our bodies, let alone all of life, can? Folks, science is not on their side. Evidence is not on their side. These guys, it's bankrupt, okay? But again, what's the whole point? What are you seeing? Not just in the world, now you're seeing them attacking, coming into the church, those 10,200 so-called clergy from the pulpit who are now promoting evolution and atheistic ideas that there is no God. What are they doing? Not just in the world, now in the church. You're suppressing the existence of God in the church. Okay? And again, that's not a good thing to do. You're storing up the wrath of God. And sooner or later, you're going to find out. Like David Hume. Remember that guy said, one of his two heroes, Charles Darwin, who was the first one? David Hume, the atheist. He found out the hard way. Watch this.
One of the craziest ones to me, and that is David Hume. David Hume was an atheist philosopher who was famous for his skepticism of religion. On his deathbed, he cries out, "I am in flames." It is said that his desperation was a horrible scene.
And for anybody who suppresses the truth of God's existence, even if you wear a clerical robe, even if you went to seminary, this is where we're at. And folks, this is why we're going to continue our study, The Witness of Creation. And what we're doing with our theme is we're taking a look at five different evidences of creation that God's left behind for us to show us not just that he's real, but the good news is what? We can have a beautiful, loving relationship with him through Jesus Christ, okay? Now, we've been looking at just the first of the five over these last many weeks, and that was the evidence of an intelligent creation, okay? And we began to break it down. All of God's creation shows his intelligent design, Romans chapter 1, from the telescope down to the microscope. So we took a look at the universe. Why? It's the outer edge. That's right, John. It's the outer edge, right? And that was, yeah, it makes me cry too when you think about it. And so the outer edge of the universe, then we began to go towards the microscope. So we went from the universe to the solar system, and then in the solar system is what? Planet Earth. And on planet Earth, how many guys walking on planet Earth right now? No, you're sitting down on planet Earth. Praise God, I tricked you on that one. Okay, but anyway, what we're doing, we got a body, right? So we took a look at the evidence of the human body that God also made. And then He didn't just make humans and the universe and stars and the planets. He made what? He made the animal kingdom, and every piece of his animal kingdom shows evidence of his intelligent design. We took a look at the evidence of large mammals and, of course, the small mammals. And then what else did God make in the creation account? He made a whole bunch of birds. They all show evidence of God's design. What's that? He also made what? That's right, the fish in the sea. They showed evidence of his design. Then we took a look at the slimy creatures, the evidence of reptiles. And we took a look at those amphibians and the frogs. And then what? Those little things that bug you? That's right, they're called insects. We took a look at those too, flying bugs. And we even dealt with the walking bugs. They're everywhere, right? And then what else did God create? Well, he also created what? He created the plants. And the plants also evidence of his design. What? We went all the way from the telescope to the microscope? That means we're going to deal with, that's right, bacteria. Even the bacteria show evidence. In fact, it's very complex. Even more that you go. And then we saw the eighth evidence was symbiotic relationships, intelligent relationships that God put together. Two organisms have to intelligently be working together or they're both dead. There's no way that happened by chance. And then we saw genetic similarities. They don't show a common evolutionary origin. They show a common designer using similar parts to get the job done. And then last time, if you guys were here, we saw the evidence of logic. Yes, logic. Come, let us reason together. Remember Isaiah said that? God wants you to bring in your brain. You don't check in your brain at the door. That's the lie. But we looked at the logic of common sense, the logic of the honeybee, the logic of Mount Rushmore that shows there's no way that anything, let alone all of life, came by chance, okay? In fact, that would include man's ability to even think, as these guys share. Watch this.
C.S. Lewis once called the human ability to think and reason the cardinal difficulty for naturalism. Why can our human minds comprehend, and why is that a problem for atheists? So tell us, what was C.S. Lewis getting at, and what is the problem that some have called the argument from reason?
Sure. Well, I do love to talk about these subjects, and the argument from reason, as it's been called, is a very powerful argument for God's existence. And it's also a problem for naturalists, as you mentioned, naturalism being the view that nature is all there is. And so there's nothing supernatural beyond nature. But this argument shows that God is real if it's successful. And so the basic idea is, at least one way to formulate it would be to start from the idea that humans have this capacity to think and reason. We can make rational, logical inferences, right? Follow an argument from premises to conclusion. We can think abstractly in ways that animals cannot, and our reasoning powers go way beyond even the smartest creatures like dolphins, apes, and birds and things. And so working from that starting point, pretty much everybody would agree that humans can think rationally. And if someone disagrees, just ask them what their reasons are. And the minute they give you one, they've come over to my side. But it would start from that premise and then say, what is the worldview that best accounts for this capability that all humans have? And if we compare, say, Christianity with atheism, according to atheism, how did human beings appear? We came about through a blind, purposeless process of evolution. And would we expect that to give us rational minds or to create any type of creature that can think rationally? And by contrast, if we take the Christian worldview that says we're created in God's image in particular, then I would argue that does make better sense of this capability that we have.
So that means logically, with your brain, your ability to think, the logical conclusion is evolution can't explain that. It's all just random, chaotic. There should be no reason why we have the ability to rationalize, to think, to have a conscience and things of that nature. Logically, it makes more sense that what? It had to come from God. That's what he's saying. So it's their belief that is actually illogical. Just the ability to think and reason, to have a conscience, right? But then we saw also the evidence of odds, right? And we saw just two statistical odds of evolution, which all of evolution is based on. Remember, from the goo to the zoo to me and you? All right, let's put it to the test. And we took a look at the mathematical odds of a single protein spontaneously popping into the seam. Then we took a the odds of a single bacteria popping onto the seam. And we said, there's no way. We know statistically, mathematically, it is absolutely impossible for life to come from non-life. I don't care how many years you throw at it. I don't care how many lightning bolts. You are never going to get life from a lightning bolt hitting a rock. How many guys can figure it out with your rational brain? But that's what they believe, okay? But it's absolutely illogical. Watch this.
Life demands a life giver. Life doesn't pop into existence from nothing. Neither the puppy at the pound nor the bacteria on the doorknob spontaneously generated. Every scientist, whether theist or atheist, knows this observation to be true. In the material universe, life arises from previously existing life of its own kind. Life cannot spontaneously generate from non-living chemicals. Thus, a supernatural, intelligent mind must have created living things. If in nature life always arises from pre-existing life, how did the first physical life come into being? Did it somehow break the most fundamental law of biology, the law of biogenesis, and arise from non-life? Or is there another possibility? Dr. Anthony Flew, who for the second half of the 20th century was one of the world's leading atheistic thinkers, was forced in the end to conclude the only satisfactory explanation for the origin of such indirected, self-replicating life as we see on Earth is an infinitely intelligent mind.
In other words, God. So even he had, if he's honest, and that's the issue we're going to see tonight, these people are not being honest. They have an ulterior motive, and God brings it out. But when you look at the logic, you look at the odds, who's checking whose brain at the door here? Remember, God says, come let us reason together. Remember, we're supposed to be the dum-dums because we don't have a degree at Oxford like they do. But it's logic, it's reason, it's evidence, it's odds. It's all on our favor. And not only that, so is science. And this is another lie they keep repeating. Well, the science is just demanding evolutionists. No, it's not. It is completely bankrupt, folks. And so we're going to take a look at the real reason why these guys push this agenda. I'll give it to Dawkins, some of these other guys. I don't doubt that they are probably intelligent. But this has nothing to do with intelligence. It has everything to do with the heart. They don't want there to be a God. It is not based on science and reason and logic and odds. They're skipping over it, folks, and we're being lied to, horribly lied to. And so we're going to finish by looking at the evidence of science. Science is not on their side, folks. They actually contradict science. Okay? But God tells us why. Open your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. And it's interesting, you look at all these evolutionists, everything, we don't usually think of that as a sign that we're in the last days. We look at the earthquakes and the famines and the pestilence and the rise of the false Christs and all these things as signs that we're in the last days. We look at Israel, what's going on there, sign that we're in the last days. Wars and rumors of war, signs in the last days. But did you know evolutionists are a sign that we're in the last days? Mm-hmm. And it really got ramped up in the 60s. In our country anyway. But 2 Peter chapter 3, God predicted this nearly 2,000 years ago, folks. Watch this. 2 Peter 3, 3 through 11, speaking of the day of the Lord. First of all, you must understand that when? In the last days. Well, how do you know if you're in the last days? We'll keep reading. Scoffers will come, scoffing and following the hard facts of science, because it just points in that direction that there is no God. Know what to say? What's their motivation?
Evil desires.
Their evil desires. That's really what this is all about. Right? They will say, where is this coming he promised? Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of what? Creation. They're denying the creation account. But they, what? Deliberately forget. What do we see that means? Dumb on purpose. I'm going to, because I have an evil desire, I don't want there to be a God, I'm going to believe something dumb on purpose. We all came from an ape, which came from a rock. Right? That's pretty dumb. But they do it on purpose, not because they're driven that by facts and science, but because of their evil desire. They don't want there to be a God, right? And God predicted this, folks, 2,000 years ago. But it's a sign we're in the last days. But they deliberately forget that long ago, right, by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. And by these waters also the world at that time was deluged and destroyed. By the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. But don't forget this one thing, dear friends, with the day, the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, 1,000 years like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He's what? He's patient. Praise God for that. With you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Quote, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives. You might want to make sure you live a life pleasing to God. God is holy. And again, the creation account was what? The first creation, he judged and destroyed because of sin. He's going to do it again. But that's not what these guys want. They don't want to hear that sin is wrong. They don't want to hear that they're going to stand before God. They don't want to hear that God's going to bring judgment again. But here's my point in this passage, 2 Peter chapter 3. One of the signs that we're living in the last days is it says there 2,000 years ago, roughly, that we're going to see a particular group of people arising on the planet. And what are they going to do? They're going to scoff, and not just scoff at God. They're going to specifically, what? Scoff at the creation account. What is that? That's evolution, man. That's evolution in our face. Just as much as the famines, the increase of that, and wars, and earthquakes, and pestilence, the increase of the line of evolution, these scoffers, is a sign that we're living in the last days. And again, what was it? Were they driven to that conclusion because of the hard facts of science? No, they were being deliberately dumb on purpose, deliberately forgetting, and it had nothing to do with the facts. It has to do with their flesh. And yet, that's what they say. We're driven this way because of the hardcore facts of science. No, it's your hardcore heart. That's really what's going on here. And then they attack the Bible. And they say, well, the Bible is a book of myths. This Bible, this book is not even scientific, right? As if they're following science and they're not. But anyway, you've heard that before? And let's examine that for a second, right? The Bible's not a scientific book, right? It's not full of scientific formulas and whatever. But listen, the Bible does not contradict not one iota of anything that's true science. And the reason why is because God doesn't lie, right? And so it doesn't. But per se, it's not a scientific book. But you'll be happy to know that the Bible not only does not contradict science, it's actually science that's catching up to what the Bible's been saying the whole time, right? It's a very reliable book, including in science. Let me give you just a little teaser real quick. Science in the Bible, right? The universe had a beginning. Well, let's just read the very first chapter, the very first verse. There you go. Right? Starting the studies of Albert Einstein's in the 1900s, continued on today, since science has confirmed the biblical view that the universe had a beginning. When the Bible was written, most people believed the universe was eternal, but science was proving them wrong, and the Bible was what? Correct the whole time. You just had to open it up. The universe is composed of time, space, matter, and energy. Well, that's the next couple verses. Genesis 1, 1 through 3. The first three verses of Genesis express what we all know about creation. In Genesis 1, 1, we read, in the beginning, time, God created the heavens, space, and the earth, matter. And then God said, let there be light, energy. No other creation account agrees with this scientific evidence. How much money could we be saving? Just read the Bible. Good science in there. No new matter is being created. That's Genesis 2, 2. This is actually called the first law of thermodynamics. It states that the total quantity of energy and matter in the universe is a constant. One form of energy or matter may be converted into another, but the total quantity always remains the same. Therefore, creation is what? Finished. Exactly like God said. That's a scientific law. That was the next chapter. Keep reading. You can learn a lot of good science. Universe is running down. That's Psalm 102, 25 through 27. That's the second law of thermodynamics, or the law of entropy it's called. This law states that everything in the universe is running down or decaying. This happened when mankind rebelled against God, resulting in the curse. And today, modern science verifies the universe is, quote, in fact, growing old like a garment, Hebrews 1:1. Evolution contradicts this. Scientific law. Evolution contradicts it. It says we're getting better, better, better. We're evolving better. No, we're not. Everything's going into a state of decay. Oh, look at how it would advance. Yeah, we're just finding more ways to kill ourselves, more ways to do more evil. It's getting worse, folks, not better. Opposite of evolution. Life only comes from life. We just saw that in the video. Genesis 1, this is called the law of biogenesis. Scientists observe that life only comes from existing life, spontaneous generation, or the emergence of life from non-living matter, like a rock, which is what evolution believes, has never been observed. All observations have shown that life only comes from life. The theory of evolution, again, conflicts with this law. What's that mean? It's unscientific. We know this to be true. A vast number of stars, Jeremiah 32, or 33, 22. At a time when less than 5,000 stars were visible to the human eye, God stated that the stars of heaven were innumerable. And it wasn't until the 17th century did the glimpse of the immensity of the universe began to be seen through the telescope. Today, astronomers estimate that there are 10,000 billion trillion stars, which is a 1 followed by 25 zeros. Yet the Bible states, scientists also admit this number may be, quote, woefully inadequate. Just like God said the whole time. Humans are made from the earth. What? Yeah, you could read that Genesis 2:7. Scientists have now discovered that the human body is comprised of 28 base and trace elements, all of which are found where? In the earth. Go figure. Lots of great science in the Bible. And we're the ones who are denying science? Hydrologic cycle, Job 36, 27 through 28. 4,000 years ago, the Bible declared God, quote, draws up drops of water, which distills his rain from the midst, which the clouds drop down and pour abundantly on man. The ancients observed mighty rivers flowing into the ocean, but they never understood why the sea level never rose. Today, meteorologists now understand that the hydrological cycle consists of evaporation, atmospheric, transportation, distillation, and precipitation, exactly like God said the whole time. Been there the whole time. Jet stream, Ecclesiastes 1 and 6. At a time when it was thought that the winds blew straight, the Bible declared, the wind goes toward the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. King Solomon wrote that 3,000 years ago, yet it was not until World War II that airmen discovered the jet stream circuit. Interesting. Air has weight, Job 28, 25. It was once thought that air was weightless, yet 4,000 years ago, Job declared that God established a, quote, weight for the wind. And recently, meteorologists have calculated that the average thunderstorm holds thousands of tons of rain, and to carry this load, air must have mass or weight. Just like the Bible said. Earth hangs in space, Job 26, 7. While other sources declared that the earth sat on the back of an elephant or a turtle, or in mythology that was held up by Atlas, the Bible alone stated that what we now know scientifically to be true. He, God, hangs the earth on nothing. It's in space. Go figure. Oceans contain springs. This is a recent one. Job 38:16. The ocean is very deep. The ocean floor is almost in total darkness. It would have been impossible for Job to explore the, quote, springs of the sea. Yet in the 1970s, with the help of deep diving research submarines, oceanographers discovered what? Springs on the ocean floor. They didn't discover that until the 70s, folks. It's in the Bible the whole time. Mountains are on the bottom, right? Jonah 2:5-6. Only in the last century have we discovered that there are indeed towering mountains and deep trenches in the depths of the sea. The sea's got paths and channels. Psalm 8:8. 3,000 years ago, the Bible described paths in the seas. It wasn't until the 19th century that Matthew Morey, the father of oceanography, after reading the Bible, go figure, researched and discovered ocean currents that follow specific paths through the seas. And utilizing this data, marine navigators have since reduced the time required to travel the seas by many days. So they're the whole time in the Bible. Life is in the blood. That's Leviticus 17:11. Up until 120 years ago, sick people were bled to make them better, and many died as a result, including George Washington. He died because they stuck leeches on him. I'm sure they sounded exactly like that, Mary. Right? For those of you who were wondering, that's George Washington leech audio file. But anyway, that's what they did to get rid of the bad blood. Well, he died. Well, today, we now know healthy blood is necessary to bring life-giving nutrients to every cell in the body. That was Leviticus. Sexual immorality is dangerous to your health. What? Yeah, you should have read 1 Corinthians 6:8. Could have saved a whole lot. Bible warns that he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Much data now confirms what the Bible's been saying. Any sexual relationship outside of marriage is unsafe. Go figure. Disease can be spread by physical contact, and you need quarantines. Leviticus 13. Long before man understood the principles of quarantine, God commanded the Israelites to isolate those with a contagious disease until they were cured. That's why the masks were unbiblical. You want to put a mask on somebody? You put it on the person who's sick, not the healthy. The exact opposite of what God says to do. When dealing with disease, clothes and bodies should be washed with running water. That's Leviticus 15:13. For centuries, people naively washed in standing water. We might as well share the germs. But today, we recognize the need of fresh water to wash away the germs. Sanitation, Deuteronomy 23:12-13. Some 3,500 years ago, God commanded his people to have a place outside the camp where they could relieve themselves and bury their waste. Up until World War I, more soldiers died from disease than war because they didn't isolate human waste. Should have just stuck with the Bible. Good science. Atomic fission, 2 Peter, that's our opening text, 3:10-12. Scripture states that the elements will melt with fervent heat when the earth and the heavens are dissolved by fire. Today we understand that if the elements of the atom are loosed, they would be an enormous release of heat and energy, radiation. Exactly like God said. Light can be divided, Job 38:24. Sir Isaac Newton studied light and discovered that white light is made up of 7 colors. How many of you guys did the little prism thing? And of course, that's the sound you made when you did the prism thing, right? Hey, work with me, people. But anyway, that's right. So which can be parted and then recombined, right? Science confirmed this 4 centuries ago, yet God said that 4,000 years ago. You're finally catching up. Light travels in a path, Job 38:19. Light said to have a way or a path in the Bible, but until the 17th century, it was believed that light was transmitted instantaneously. But we now know that light is a form of energy that travels in a straight line or path, 186,000 miles per second, just like God said. Creation is made of invisible particles, atoms, Hebrews 11:3. Not until the 19th century was it discovered that all visible matter consists of these invisible elements that we now call atoms. God created all mankind from one blood. That's Acts 17:26. In 1995, a study of a section of Y chromosomes from 38 men from different ethnic groups from around the world prove the biblical teaching that, guess what? Hey, we really do all come from one man. In fact, let's get specific. I know his name. It was Adam. That's good science. Genetic mixing of seeds is forbidden. Uh-oh. That's a current issue, right? Leviticus 19:19, the Bible warns against mixing seeds. This will result in inferior or dangerous crops. What are we dealing with today, folks? That's what they're doing with the GMOs. And what's it doing? It's dangerous. Not just harmful to the crops, harmful to us. You should have read Leviticus 19. Pest control, Leviticus 25. Farmers are plagued with insects today, yet God gave us a surefire remedy to control those pests centuries ago. You are to set aside 1 year and 7 when no crops were raised. Why? Because if the crop is denied 1 year and 7, the pests have nothing to subsist on and they're controlled. You don't need chemicals. Believe it or not, when I grew up in Kansas, Some of the older farmers, they still did that. You would let it go barren for a whole year. It'd look all ugly and scraggly, but it got rid of the bugs. That's a biblical practice. You don't need all those chemicals. Olive oil and wine is useful for wounds. Luke 10:34. Jesus told the Samaritan, bandage the wounded traveler's wounds with olive oil and wine. And today we know that wine contains ethyl alcohol, which is a good disinfectant. Olive oil is a good disinfectant and a skin moisturizer, protector, and a soothing lotion. Yet during the Middle Ages, right up until the 20th century, millions of people died because they didn't know how to treat and protect open wounds. Interesting. And laughter promotes healing. Proverbs 17:22. Recent studies confirm what Solomon wrote 3,000 years ago. Quote, a merry heart does good like medicine. And we know this, that'd be true, right? You ever get across that person that's just so depressed and whatever, right? And you're trying to work with them and whatever, but man, you leave there going like, man, I feel great. I'm uplifted. No, but you get around somebody that actually has a sense of humor or something or cracks you, kind of fun. Hey, it kind of perks you up, doesn't it? And that's what God, it is now known that laughter reduces levels of stress hormones, which helps us to balance our immune systems, listen, which helps our bodies to fight off disease, as these people found out. Watch this. He read one of my jokes. You know it's true. It's contagious, isn't it? It's good for you. Right? So turn to somebody and say, I will always laugh at Pastor Billy's jokes. I didn't realize you were here for my health, Pastor. You think of everything, man. Yeah. But here's my point. How many guys would say the Bible, yes, it may not be a scientific book, but it not only does not contradict science, but what's really going on here? Science is on our side. It's the scientists that are catching up to it. The science has been in the Bible the whole time. God doesn't lie. He gets it right 100% of the time. Now, they not only, the scoffers, ignore the scientific evidence for intelligent design, but now let's get into how they purposely not only attack the Bible, but they purposely deny science. And again, remember, this is their mirage. Evolution's a science. It's proven by science. Science is on our side. No, it's not. And I'll give you just a quick couple examples. First of all, let's take a look at the science of the Big Bang. So before the goo to the zoo to me and you, what's the premise of evolution? Something blew up and we're all here, right? That's their whole premise, right? Let's take a look at the science of that and see who's going to win on that game and who's being dumb on purpose, right? But let's begin to break that down. First of all, they deny some laws, scientific laws, with their version of the Big Bang. And the first law they deny is the law of cause and effect, right? And so let's begin to examine that. That law, the law of cause and effect, states that everything happens for a reason. In other words, for every effect, there is a cause to that effect. For instance, if I discover that one of my windows is broken, then obviously something caused it to be broken. How many guys can figure that out without any help? Right? That's common sense. It didn't just evolve there, did it? Right? Something had to cause that to happen. That's the law of cause and effect. Therefore, when this scientific law is applied to the Big Bang, we know that something must have caused it to happen, right? That's logic, common sense. So the question then is, what or whom caused the Big Bang to happen, just like the broken window? Well, you and I, the Christian, who come let us reason together, we read the first page of the Bible, and God tells us right off the bat. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. But believe it or not, the evolutionist says this, in the beginning, dirt or matter exploded, and here we are. This is our whole belief, folks. And they say they're the scientific ones. Now, here is a common textbook explanation. Kids today are being brainwashed in secular school with this lie. Watch this. The Big Bang Theory began with this guy, a Belgian astronomer, George Edward Lemaître, and was further developed by several men in the 20s and 40s. Now, watch this. They're just making it up as they go. Watch this. Then, with the help of a research scientist and a what? Science fiction writer, a guy named George Gamow, it was promoted in the scientific community with evidence, hard facts? No. Using what? cartoons. The so-called evidence for evolution in schools today, still, it's not in reality. There is no evidence. They draw cartoons. And today, they make animations. And so it must be true. Same thing, man. The theory originally stated, watch this, they're just making it up as they go, watch this, that all the matter in the universe was compressed into a chunk of matter, i.e. a ball of dirt. And at first, this chunk of dirt was proposed to be 2 light years or about 12 trillion miles across. But by 1965, that figure was reduced to 275 million miles. And then by 1972, it was reduced to 71 million miles. By 1974, 54,000 miles. And by 1983, this ball of dirt was reduced to a, quote, trillionth of the diameter of a proton. Really? So now we've gone from in the beginning, there was dirt, to in the beginning, there was a dot. Right? Maybe it's inflation in space. I don't know, because it was really big at one point, and somehow it turned into a dot. Folks, I'm telling you, they're making this up. It's not scientific. But it wasn't long before that was pointed out. Wait a second. This is inconsistent. This is not scientific. Right? This denies the law of cause and effect. Something had to cause it to happen. We agree that something blew up, and here we are. Right? But they say it came from a giant piece of dirt to now a dot. But how can dirt explode on its own? How can inanimate matter animate something? That's not scientific. That denies science. And so the question is, who caused the dirt to explode, and where'd the dirt come from? Who made the dirt? Dirt doesn't just pop out somewhere. Dirt can't create itself. Dirt can't explode on its own. Well, believe it or not, it was pointed out, and they've now gone from, watch this, here it is. Remember, it was trillions of miles across this big giant blob of dirt, down to a dot, and then you point out how unscientific that is. And here's what they say. They went from a huge chunk of dirt to a dot to nothing. This is the current one they're landing on. That's right. They now teach that nothing exploded, and here we are. That's science? No, that's stupid. That's being dumb on purpose. Right? Listen to themselves. Watch this. This is crazy. Alan H. Guth and Paul J. Steinhardt wrote this in Scientific American, quote, "It is then tempting to go one step further and speculate that the entire universe evolved from literally nothing." Really? Isaac Asimov, he quoted this in Science Digest saying, I can't listen to this gobbledygook. "Where did the substance of the universe come from?" Now stop right there. This guy, look at him. Did you see that picture of him? He's got those lamb chops going. I bet you he's British. He's probably got a couple degrees. Surely he's smart. Oh, yeah, he's got the accent, too, right? So here's what he says, right? Listen to this smart guy. The rest of us were dum-dums. Listen to this smart guy explaining where we came from. Where did the substance from the universe come from? Well, as I have my pipe out here, if 0 equals plus 1 plus divided by minus 1, then something which is 0 might just as well become 1 and negative 1. Perhaps in an infinite sea of nothingness, globs of positive and negative energy in equal size pairs are constantly forming and, after passing through evolutionary changes, combine once more and vanish. We are in one of those globs in a period of time between nothing and nothing and wondering about it. Yeah, we're wondering about it. How could that be called science? Folks, this is what they believe. It's made up. Oh, by the way, Isaac Asimov, he's another science fiction writer. Remember, the whole premise is what? It's science, man. It's all on their side. Science proves it's nothing. These guys are unscientific. They deny known science. It's a made-up lie. Once again, the law of cause and effect. How could nothing have exploded? Nothing cannot cause something. If there was a time when we had nothing, what would we have today? Nothing. But since we have something, then we know scientifically that something had to cause it, right? That's true science. And that's why when it comes to the Big Bang, that yes, scientifically, the only option is, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Well, science is on our side, folks. So as you can see, rather than disproving God's existence, the Big Bang actually proves God's existence. As this guy shares, watch this.
How could we ever know if God exists? We can't see, hear, touch, smell, or taste him. We can't weigh him like we can a 5-pound bag of potatoes. We can't put God under an electron microscope to prove what he looks like on an atomic level. So how can we know that God exists? We freely admit that belief in God is not the result of literally seeing God's spirit or touching his actual essence. What we have at our fingertips, however, is a mountain of irrefutable, indirect, credible evidence that testifies on God's behalf. First, consider the fact that matter demands a maker. A study of the material universe reveals that every physical effect must have an adequate cause that came before it or was simultaneous to it and is greater than it. The U.S. flag that stood tall on the surface of the moon in 1969 was neither eternal nor without a cause. Its existence on the moon demands a sufficient cause. Some leading atheists contend that nothing gave rise to the universe. But the fact is, as renowned atheist Richard Dawkins admitted, common sense doesn't allow you to get something from nothing. At one time in the past, the material universe did not exist. Then at some point, it came into existence. But since matter is not eternal, and it cannot create itself from nothing, then something outside of the material universe must have brought it into existence. Indeed, the very existence of matter demands a maker.
Sound pretty scientific to you? Does to me. And that's what we see. Let's take a look at the second. That's the law of cause and effect. They also deny what's called the law of conservation of angular momentum. How many guys woke up today and say, I've got to discover what the law... Well, today's your day, Debbie. That's right. We're going to find out what in the world is that. This is another scientific law that they absolutely, completely deny. This law basically states that when a spinning object breaks apart, the pieces will be spinning in the same direction as the original object, right? It's like this thing. It's like a merry-go-round, right? Merry-go-round, you go in a clockwise direction, right? And you continue to spin them so fast, and what happens to the kids? You start flying off. That's conservation angular momentum. And you don't just fly off, right? The kids, if you're starting out clockwise, then guess what? When you fly off, guess what direction you're going to go? And wait for it. There she goes. Right? So she flies off the same way, right? That's a simple way of saying that's the law of conservation angular momentum. Okay, so let's apply this to the Big Bang. If evolutionists, as they say, that the dot, or now nothingness, was spinning around, because that's what they say, really fast before it exploded, then, logically, scientifically, everything in the universe should be spinning in the same direction, right? Right? That's a scientific law. Well, guess what? They got a problem. Everything is not spinning in the same direction. We got galaxies that are spinning backwards. We see stars that are orbiting backwards. There's two planets in our solar system, Venus and Uranus, that are spinning backwards. And out of all the known moons in our solar system, at least 11 of them are spinning backwards. 4 of them are traveling backwards. And 2 planets have moons going both directions at the same time. Oops. And that's why one guy, I kid you not, this is a true story, he asked an evolutionist to please explain this backward motions of celestial object if everything supposedly exploded from a spinning dot at the Big Bang, as they say. Well, believe it or not, he replied, the evolutionist, he says, I don't know. How do you think it happened? The Christian responded, well, it's very simple, sir. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and God did it that way on purpose just to make the Big Bang theory look stupid. And I would agree. The third law they deny is the law of God. Right? The law of God, right? You see, the question isn't whether or not there was a Big Bang, but rather, which Big Bang are you talking about? Right? The Bible says, again, our opening text, 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth and also the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now, what's interesting in the Greek, great noise, it literally means Big Bang. And so the scripture tells us that, yes, there's going to be a Big Bang. It just hasn't happened yet. So the next time somebody asks you, do you believe in the Big Bang? And you say, oh, yeah, I do. And you better get saved and get ready for it because it's coming. That's the Big Bang you need to be concerned about. Well, when you take a look at the hard facts of science and science concerning the Big Bang, so now we're at the very, 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 very core issue. Not just the goo to the zoo to me and you. We've blown that one out of the water. Now we're going even further to their origin of beginning. It's completely unscientific. They actually deny science. Science is not on their side. They're acting dumb on purpose. And once in a while, you get scientists that will admit that. Now, this is W.R. Thompson, and he wrote this, listen, in the introduction to Charles Darwin's Origin of Species. This is what he wrote in there. Watch this. I am not satisfied that Darwin proved his point or that his influence in scientific and public thinking has been beneficial. Watch this. He says the success of Darwinianism is accomplished, quote, by a decline in scientific integrity. What's he saying? This is in the introduction to the Origin of Species. He is saying he believes, as a scientist, not only evolution has not been a benefit to science, let alone public, but the only reason why it has advanced is because of, quote, scientific integrity. Can we translate that? Because people choose to be dumb on purpose and not follow the science. That's exactly what he's saying. And so finally, we get to their issue. So why in the world are these guys pushing this when logic, reason, evidence is not on their side and not even science is on their side, even though they say that? Why are they doing that? Because again, our opening text told us it's an issue of the heart. It's their heart, folks. If you notice, this is number 10, for those of you wondering how long we've been on this study. This is our finale on this one for 10. But throughout our whole study, what have we been seeing? We've been seeing that evolutionists deny scientific data that supports creation all the way from the telescope to the microscope. Remember that? Then we saw that they darken their eyes to the truth about symbiotic relationships and genetic similarities that prove scientifically there's no way we came from an ape. Then they defy common sense, logic, and odds that show us there's no way that life can spontaneously evolve. It's impossible, and they know it. And now we've seen they voluntarily act dumb on purpose and deny science to push this so-called theory. So why would they do this? Well, because what our opening text say? It has nothing to do with the facts. That's the smokescreen. It has to do with their flesh. They do not want there to be a God. They don't want anybody telling them you cannot live out your evil desire. And so they came up with this lie, I believe inspired by Satan, who's the father of all lies, John chapter 8, to pull that off. Okay? And once in a while, these guys will actually admit it. Direct quotes. And keep in mind, we're told we're the unscientific ones. We're the liars. We're the people believing in a myth. You try to talk about getting biblical creation in a secular arena, school, workplace, government, Hollywood, they go nuts as if we're the dumb ones and they got all the evidence. Here's the real reason, exactly like Peter predicted 2,000 years ago. And I quote, George Wald states, when it comes to the origin of life, there's only two possibilities, creation or spontaneous generation. There is no third way. Spontaneous generation, what's he say? Was disproved how long ago? 100 years ago. But that leads us to only one other conclusion, that of supernatural creation. Watch this. We cannot accept that on philosophical grounds. Therefore, we choose to believe the impossible, that life arose spontaneously by chance. What did you just say? We choose to be dumb on purpose because we don't want there to be a God. He admits it's not scientific, evolution. Arthur Keek, he author of 20 books defending evolution, wrote, quote, evolution is what? Unproved and what? Unprovable. We believe it because the only alternative is special creation, and that is unthinkable. Right? Not science. Richard Dawkins, again, he said this, Darwin made it possible to be an intellectually fulfilled atheist. Right? H.G. Wells, he said, if all animals and man evolved, then the entire history, a historic fabric of Christianity, the story of the first sin, and the reason for an atonement collapses like a house of cards. That's why they push it. That's why we saw with the clergy ledger, it's an attack on God. It's an attack on Christianity. It's an attack on anybody to say, hey, that's evil, that's wrong. You better watch out. God's going to judge sin again. He's coming back. They don't want to hear that. So that's why they push it, because they want Christianity to be silent. Huxley, he said, I suppose the reason we all jumped at the origin, Darwin's Origin of Species, what? was because the idea of God interfered with our sexual mores. Wow. One more. Bertrand Russell, evolutionist philosopher, said that getting rid of the idea of God, quote, freed me up to my erotic desires. And we're the dumb ones. You put all this together, I don't know about you guys, but me, I'm going like, how much is evolutionary teachings crammed down our throats every day? You can't even escape it as a Christian. You can't turn on a program, millions and billions. You can't even watch a Geico commercial with the ape man. And the ape man thing was a lie. The kids. Oh, so you hear me every week, get your kids out of the sewer pipe. They're being brainwashed. Everywhere you go, cartoons. Our own government. Why do they want to murder children? Well, because there's no God, and that's not even a child. All the ills of us, as much as you think this thing is being pushed and crammed down our throats, every arena, young and old alike, it's not just unbelievable when you examine the evidence, and they have none. I'll tell you this, it's un-American. And the reason why is because that's not what our founding fathers said. Declaration of Independence. When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands which have connected them with another and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and the nature's what? God entitle them. A decent respect of the opinions of mankind requires that they should declare the causes which impel them to the separation. Quote, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their what? Creator with certain unalienable rights, and that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. So my theory is this. Maybe if you as an evolutionist don't want to believe in a creator God like our founding fathers did, then maybe it's time you go create your own country and leave ours alone. And stop pushing your lie. Because it's not true, it's not scientific, it defies science and logic and reason. And now we know why you're really doing it, because you don't want to give up your sin. That's the real reason. And yet, as we finish our study, for those who send their kids to secular school, including the university, they'll go tomorrow, and guess what they're going to be told? There is no God. It's all by chance. It came from an ape. It came from the goo to the zoo to me and you because nothing blew up. And they have no evidence. I mean, none. And then the only reason why people believe it is because that's what they were told in school. You don't believe me? Watch this as we close.
Canine kind, the coyote, and the domestic dog, and there's the feline kind, which is the cat, the tiger, and the kitten, and you've got humankind. So Darwin said there'd be a change of kinds over many years, so could you give me one example of observable evidence of a change of kinds?
So, for instance, the fossil record shows the common ancestors of all carnivores, that cats and dogs were once linked, once united by a common ancestor.
How long ago?
This, I believe, was like 60 million years ago.
The scientific method must be observable and repeatable. So could you give me one piece of observable evidence for Darwinian evolution?
Okay, I would point to, as one great example, is look at the genetics of the stickleback.
What's that?
So stickleback fish are a very interesting collection of species that were recently isolated after the end of the Ice Age.
What have they become?
They're various species of sticklebacks.
They stayed as fish.
Well, of course. Human beings are still fish.
Human beings are fish?
Why, yes, of course they are.
Could you give me an example of Darwinian evolution, not adaptation or speciation, but a change of kinds?
These are changes of kinds.
They're still fish.
They're distinctly different fish.
We have thousands of examples.
Can you give me one?
I can give you thousands.
Just one.
For instance, I would say look at Lenski's experiments with bacteria then.
So what do the bacteria become?
The bacteria are still bacteria, of course.
So that's not Darwinian evolution. That's not a change of kinds, is it?
It is a change. It is a change in the genetic makeup of the bacteria, which
but
is
still bacteria. So what do the bacteria become?
a new kind of bacteria.
So it's still bacteria. There's no change of kinds. Darwin spoke of a change of kind. Can you think of any observable evidence for Darwinian evolution where there's a change of kind?
Change of kind. Change of kind. I'm going to have to think about that one a little longer.
You give me anything that I can see, observe, and test, which is a scientific method for Darwinian evolution, a change of kinds. Test and observe. Could you give me observable evidence, which is a scientific method for Darwinian evolution, a change of kinds?
So you want the evidence of it?
I would say...
I cannot, I think. It's a hard question, actually. So, can you repeat the question again?
Could you give me any observable evidence, just one, for Darwinian evolution?
Let me think about that for a sec.
Observable evidence, something where we don't have to exercise faith. Something that can be observed, like the scientific process, observable.
That's a good question. That one I'm not quite sure.
So you can't think of any observable evidence for evolution?
No.
How do you know it's true?
Sure.
So Darwinian evolution is not observable, it's not scientific.
I guess so.
So it's unscientific, you can't prove it.
It's scientific, actually. You could prove it. It could be proven, just...
Do it for me.
That's hard. That's just too broad of a...
It's unobservable, that's why you need millions of years.
Yes, exactly.
You're trusting the biology majors and the biology professors know what they're talking about.
Yeah,
and they can't even give me they can't even give me evidence of a change of kinds.
Well, then there isn't one. If they don't give it, then I wouldn't say there was.
Yeah. I just go on what I've seen and what I've learned from...
Quack. So you believe?
Yeah.
You know what that's called?
What?
Blind faith.
Blind faith.
I thought you weren't supposed to have faith in schools. Do you see how bankrupt this is? And then, how sad it is, the answer to pick a problem in life. The answer is Jesus Christ. And that these liars with hard hearts have taken over our country, every aspect of it, with a lie called evolution, and they're suppressing the news that could turn everything around. Now you know why. We've gone through this study. It's not for you and I to wow ourselves. It's to get equipped so we can share with people. They're being brainwashed. And since it's now, they've taken over all forms of education and media, by and large. Do you know what that means? The only place they're going to get the truth is where? You and I, and then we saw most churches are infested with fakers who are also promoting this. So it's into the hands of just a very few. But God doesn't need a million people to make a difference. He just needs a handful of Christians equipped to give a defense for the hope that lies within them and get out there and share it. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you for our study on intelligent design. And it's been quite the journey, and we thank you for that. We believed, at least as Christians, that you exist. We know that. But we live in such a skeptical society. And hopefully our eyes have been opened to just how much we've been lied to. And that there's no reason for us to doubt your word, the Bible. There's no reason why we cannot take literally your word, the Bible, including the creation account. And it's actually scientists catching up to what you've been saying the whole time. We have the truth on our side because you are the truth. And the Bible is only the truth. You demonstrate that time and time again. Help us to be encouraged. Help us to be even more confident when we share your truth that it really is the truth in all arenas of life, including science. But most importantly, God, we're not here to win a war of ideas or worldviews per se. We want to lead people to you. We saw that in our text in Peter. You're not willing that any should perish. But people are perishing because they don't know about you. They're being lied. They're being brainwashed. And churches are infected with atheists now. Fakers galore. They'd never do a study like this, ever. And even those that maybe they're not atheists and fakers, they still won't do a study like this. They want to build up their self-esteem, learn how to be financially successful, swing from a chandelier. God, help us. There's a small remnant left of us. Help us to be faithful with what you have deposited into these hearts and minds and use us that many souls could be won for you. We ask all these things in your wonderful name, in Jesus' name, and all God's people said.
Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with Him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows He's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall or give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandment says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even His name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's His standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with Him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that, that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven. I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us his son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus so that we can now have a relationship with God both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against him and disqualified us for heaven, right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive his pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what he was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon, so that you can be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.